So, here in Sunday school this morning, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about ambitious praying. Ambitious praying. One man said, your dream should always be larger than your memories. And I want you to look in Matthew chapter 17 at a very interesting text. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. I'm more interested in an outcome than an outline, so I'm just going to talk to you from my heart here this morning for a few minutes, and then we're going to implement what we're talking about. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. We do prayer advances, we do revival summits in local churches, we do prayer summits, and a prayer summit is where we teach through the model prayer and we implement. And I am just of the persuasion that we're in such a time now that we need to spend as much time on implementation as we do on instruction. Because if all we do is instruct and don't apply and make application, we got to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. So look at this text right here, Matthew 17, 14. And when they were come to the multitude, they came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. 17. Then Jesus answered and said, read these words, O faithless and perverse generation. Say those words out loud. O faithful and perverse generation. This is not a compliment. He's not talking to the Pharisees. He's not talking to the Sadducees. He's talking to his disciples. What? Faithless, perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, say these words out loud, because of your unbelief. One more time. Because of your unbelief. For I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Charles Spurgeon said, little faith will bring your souls to heaven. Little faith will bring your souls to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your souls. One man said this, I have found that there are three stages in every work of God. Three stages in every great work of God. First, it's impossible. Second, it's difficult. Third, it's done. Impossible, difficult, done. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God. There is no word of God without power. And faith can do anything God can. F.B. Meyer said, faith makes giants look like grasshoppers. Faith makes giants look like grasshoppers, but unbelief makes grasshoppers look like giants. And Jesus said, some things are not going to happen apart from prayer and fasting. I just want to go on record, Pastor. I know you'll appreciate this. I am not a fatalist. I believe there's some things that's not going to happen unless somebody gets a hold of God in prayer and God gets a hold of somebody. In fact, Jesus said, of this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, not wishing it were so, but believing it is so. And there's a point to ask, and then there's a point to appropriate, and then there's a point to believe you got what you asked for before you get it, and the Bible calls that faith. Now, any church can have a perpetual fast. Any church can have a perpetual fast if they only had 30 people who were willing to fast and pray one day a month. Any church could have a perennial fast if they only had 7 people willing to fast and pray one day a month. You know, it's amazing how the different groups of Christians, they emphasize certain truths and certain things and then totally neglect other certain things. Have you ever noticed that? Anybody here aware that our crowd neglects some clear-cut things in the Word of God because we're all the time emphasizing the other thing? Now, look, any church can have a continual fast if they don't have a few people that will do it. Now, I know I heard of a church that had a 23-year prayer meeting that was unbroken. that they had somebody from their church on the watchtower every hour of the day for 23 years. The church expanded and grew. Some things are not going to happen, but by prayer and fasting. Something that's happening up at Prayer Advance, a pastor got up and told how that he had implemented the furnace room. That's a takeoff of Spurgeon, who had 700 people praying while he was preaching. And I can't tell you how many churches this year have implemented what they call the furnace room, to where people will go and will seek God during the service for the blessing of God upon the meeting. Now I want to talk to you about ambitious praying. J.C. Ryle said, faith is the hinge on which the victory turns. Listen to me. Faith is believing what's not so in order that it might be so, because God says it is so. That's what faith is. God honors faith and faith honors God. I was in a meeting one time in Champaign, Illinois. We just had a breakthrough. We had to extend the meeting, I think it was four times. And an amazing thing happened the second week. There was a lady in the church whose husband had issues. They told him that he was a manic, depressive. They told him he was antisocial, and they slapped all these labels on him. And you know what he did? He believed them, and he lived up to it. He couldn't go in public, couldn't hold a job, couldn't come to church, couldn't stand to be around crowds. His wife prayed for him for 30 years. The second week of that meeting, he showed up, which was like miraculous in itself. And there he was sitting in the back of the church with his coveralls on. I can still see him. And you could look at this fellow and you could say, he's got some things going on. But he sat through the service. He came the second night, came the third night, came the fourth night. I think it was the fifth night when he got born again. Two nights later, here's a guy that can't go in public, can't hold a job, afraid of crowds, stands before over 200 people and relates what God is doing in his life. He's been in church ever since. Every service since, except when illness would forbid him. He's working in the Awana program. And you know something? I believe there's a pile of people that have real issues going on. If they could just get in a sanctified atmosphere where the Spirit of God was working in power, a lot of these issues could be healed in the here and now. Total healing in the next life, but substantial healing in this life. My explanation was, Jesus was passing by, and he just happened to be in the right place. And you know what I thought? If I could just bottle this up, man, if I could just bottle this up and every church I go to just throw this saturated, sanctified atmosphere out. And I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up, there's a healer in the house. And I'll tell you what, God, prayer can do anything God can. I have a pastor friend, had a heart attack in the pulpit. Paramedics kept him going until they showed up and hustled him off to the hospital. The doctors told his wife that he had a 10% chance of survival, and if he did live, he'd probably have brain damage. Gave her absolutely no hope. My wife and I ran over to the hospital, prayed with her. We said, Sherry, let's pray the prayer of faith and believe God to raise Billy up. She said, amen. We prayed the prayer of faith. He was in a coma for 14 or 21 days. I can't remember. And they gave her no hope. She spent 41 nights in the hospital waiting room, wouldn't even go to the hotel, just to be with him. And when he came to and when he woke up, he was as clear as he ever was. I went in, and when I saw him first time, I said, hello, Lazarus, because this has happened before. And he's like had two or three heart attacks. I said, man, you're like a cat. Yeah, you got nine lives. He said, yeah, but I'm using them up pretty quick here. And but he's back in the pulpit. And I'm telling you, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. We had a fellow come to a prayer advance, a pastor, and he was up in the hills of Virginia, and he had a building program going on. They needed a heating and air conditioning system. He got up on Sunday morning, and said, I'm asking God to send in the complete amount of money for the heating and air conditioning system from outside the church. Now, he said, some of you could write the check. But he said, I don't even want you to write the check. That's unusual for a pastor, amen. And he said, I don't want you to write. He said, I want God to send in the funds from outside the church. Just got up with this kind of an announcement. He came back to church that night with a check in his pocket from somebody outside the church for the entire amount for the heating and air conditioning system. Nothing is impossible with God. We have ladies come to our ladies' prayer advance, and we have impossible prayer meetings where we pray for things that are humanly impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. Amen. We had this sister get up, and her mother was from Philadelphia, and her mother needed a kidney transplant. The doctors in Philly wouldn't do it because she was too old, but she found a doctor in Richmond who said, if you come up with a kidney, we'll do it. So this daughter had an impossible prayer request that God would supply a kidney for her mother without killing somebody. I mean, how do you go shopping for a kidney? Craigslist? Planned Parenthood? I mean, what are you supposed to do here? I mean, really? So she was praying. Would you believe when they went home, two women in the church, this was a black sister, and this two white women in the church came up and said, we just feel impressed that if our kidney is a match, we want to give you one of our kidneys. And the first one was a taker. So they swapped them. Next year at prayer advance, we had the donor, we had the recipient, Mama Carter, she's my adopted mother, and the daughter up here telling the story, nothing is impossible with God. We had a lady come to our prayer advance, couldn't get pregnant, wanted a child so bad. Her impossible prayer request was God would give her a child. Well, went home. Next year she shows up with the answer to prayer in her arms. And a great roar went up there of this answer to prayer. Came back the next year with second answer to prayer. Amen. At least some people being fruitful and multiplying. Amen. Setting the example for us, brother. Amen. That's wonderful. Now, listen, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. We were in Danville, Illinois. Paul Rebert. And he took us out to eat at Biagi's. Best Italian restaurant on the planet. And while we're having lunch at this Biagi's restaurant, the pastor began to rehearse the details about his kidney stone attack. Now, this is not the best topic of conversation with the marinara sauce, amen? I mean, really, get off. But he told us the whole story, brother. So we get up and go outside the door, and about the time we get outside the door, the pastor doubles over in pain. My wife and his wife going out to the car, and his wife and my wife are in the back seat, and the pastor's behind the car by now, and he's bent over double. And my wife says to his wife, I think your husband is sick. And his wife didn't even look and said, he'll be okay. Real compassionate, help me. And my wife said, no, I think he's really sick. He was having another kidney stone attack. So loaded him in the passenger seat. I fell in behind the wheel, off to the hospital, got him checked in. Now we're having a prayer summit. We're having a prayer summit in this church. So the doctor said, he'll be here at least for 48 hours. And don't plan on him coming back. So we got him checked in. We went back to the church. I got up before the congregation. I said, look, our pastor is having a kidney stone attack. They said there's no way he's going to be here tomorrow. Hey, this is a prayer summit. Why don't we believe God that he'll pass the stone, everything will be cool, and he'll be here tomorrow morning for Sunday school? And the people agreed and said amen. Would you believe he was home by 1 o'clock that morning, showed up the next morning at Sunday school? You couldn't tell anything had ever even happened. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, brethren, we've got to believe God for some breakthroughs, and we've got to stop limiting God with our unbelief. We've got to stop this. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. A faith begins where man's power ends, George Mueller. Joseph Lane said that God usually answers us according to our expectations. And I'm telling you, you've got needs today. Let's believe God. You have impossible prayer requests, things that are not probable, things that are not predictable, things that are not even humanly possible. Nothing is impossible with God. I heard this story that Alexander the Great conquered the known world. And one of his soldiers, just a private soldier, came up and requested that he be given jurisdiction over this great city in this particular region. And Alexander the Great gave this peon private jurisdiction. He answered his request, gave him what he wanted, and put him in charge of governorship over this region. They say that when Alexander the Great's generals heard what he had done, that they were absolutely outraged, and they went and rebuked him and said, "What do you think you're doing, giving the governorship to this nobody?" And Alexander the Great supposedly said, I was honored by the largeness of his request. I was honored by the largeness of his request. We got too many question marks in prayer and not enough exclamation points in prayer. I'm telling you, it's time for the people to claim to have the highest view of inspiration and the highest view of the authority of the Bible, to start having the highest view of the confidence that God can do anything. You know, if you want to find somebody to pray the prayer of faith, you pretty well got to, in some churches, you've got to go outside the doors and get with another group to find anybody that can even pray in faith. And I'm here to tell you that nothing is impossible with God. So what we need here are some God-sized answers for God-sized needs. Listen to this quote. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Man's extremity is God's opportunity, and the sphere in which God does his greatest works is the sphere where no one but God can work. Now, pull out your little card. Pull out your little blank card right there, right at the top. Impossible prayer request. Impossible prayer request. And here's what we're going to do. I want you to write on that card your impossible prayer request. What is it that you need that you can't do? I mean, family need, emotional need, spiritual need, physical need. What is your impossible prayer request? Just come up with your main prayer burden, your main need. Now, this is something that's not probable. It's not predictable. We're talking about things that are not even humanly possible. And just put out on that card right there your impossible prayer request. Maybe you have a chronic illness. Maybe somebody here has a terminal illness. Maybe somebody in your family, some great need. Hey, just put down that right there, that impossible prayer request. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray the prayer of faith, and we're going to believe God to answer these humanly impossible prayer requests, because nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And I want to challenge you as a congregation. Consider, even without an organized effort, that perhaps God would put on somebody's heart to give a day a week or a day a month to prayer and fasting for the blessing of God. Now look, we're living in days where demons are stalking us and we better be seeking God, because some things are not going to happen apart from prayer and fasting. So consider that. But here's what we're going to do. I want you to find women, every lady, find another lady and swap cards. Every man, every young person, find another man and swap cards and pray and believe God to answer these impossible prayer requests. And then we can rejoice as these answers come in. So let's stand to our feet. Men with men, women with women. Find somebody, swap the cards, spend a season believing God to intervene on behalf of these requests.